You're listening to the Faith Shaping Podcast for March 12, 2006, sharing faith journeys through authentic Christian living. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Faith Shaping Podcast. My name is Tim Nolte, and I'm your host. And I'd encourage you, if this is your first time listening, to take a listen to the first introduction podcast. That'll give you an idea of what this podcast is all about and where I'm coming from, a little bit of background on me. And I just want to say that this podcast really has become for me just an expression, just a way for me to express the faith journey that I am on and a lot of the stuff that God's teaching me on a day-by-day and week-to-week basis. I know I didn't get a podcast out last week. I apologize for that. But in one sense, I kind of don't apologize because God was really working in my heart through that weekend, really showing me some things. One of those things was just even an opportunity to take some rest, some more rest. And that was what my last podcast was all about, was taking time for rest and the semicircle. And kind of continuing in that light, I did have a listener comment, and this was their question. What does rest look like? Is it doing nothing, spending time with God, or doing something you enjoy? And, you know, it's kind of funny. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I think it kind of was that I didn't get to the aspect of the semicircle and rest that talks about the form that rest takes place in our own lives. And rest happens in different ways for people. Those ways are exactly those questions. Doing nothing, spending time with God, doing something you enjoy. Those are all ways to experience rest. I think we are called in one aspect to take time for rest with God. And, you know, and that kind of ties into even this week's subject with the living a balanced life and looking at the triangle, the up, in, and out. And that's the up aspect of the triangle. And that's spending time with God. And, you know, that's a way of, you know, the semicircle talks about abiding in Christ. And I think the times we can spend with God and just taking a break from the busyness of life and just spending time with Him, whether it's in reading His Word, in prayer, or just even quiet meditation and letting Him in the Holy Spirit maybe work in our minds. Those are all aspects of rest, and I think we need times for that type of rest, as well as other times. Times where we can just kick back and maybe turn our brains into low gear. With all the demands that life brings us, it's amazing how we are pulled in so many different directions. And we can just, at the end of the day, feel so kind of expended. That, you know, having to read the Bible, that may seem like work to us at that point. And we may need time to just not necessarily be looking to delve into the Word for God's teaching, but just spending time in His comfort or just time in physical rest, or just mental rest where we can just kind of, like I said, turn our brains into low gear and just be renewed in our minds and physically through rest. And I'm glad that question came up because it wasn't something that I addressed specifically is how what does rest look like? And like I said, rest takes many forms for many people. And I think there's different kinds of rest for different times in our lives. We look at vacations that we may take, and that's a period of rest, or we would hope that it would be a period of rest. I know even sometimes vacations can turn into opportunities of more busyness. We got to plan out our entire vacation and, you know, do this and do this and do this and do this and not take time for some maybe physical rest. But, you know, if it's things we enjoy doing and we still feel a sense of rest after doing those things, that's great. That's the kind of rest that we need to have. This week's topic, we're talking about living a balanced life, and that's a balanced life through our up relationship, our relationship with God, and spending time with Him, and building a deeper relationship with Him. Our in relationship, our time of fellowship with other believers, with other close friends, lifting each other up, and growing spiritually with other people. And then the out aspect of the triangle, which is really it's the outreach. It's the times where we are in the world, like God commands us to, being in the world and reaching out to those in need. Really in need. I mean, and that's all kinds of needs, whether it's spiritual needs, physical needs, emotional needs, being out there and you know, that's part of serving God, you know, serving others and showing love to others. And I'll kind of talk about each one of those aspects here. And let's first start with spending time with God. And that's that aspect of how, you know, it was interesting. It was explained to me at one point about how, you know, when we are doing ministry and when we're discipling, when we're doing outreach, one thing that we can get caught up in doing is working on that out, and letting the up part of our lives, the time we spend with God, the time letting God fill us up, we let that fall behind. And how can we, there's a picture of us being the cup. I think that comes right out of the scripture. I can't remember the verse right off the top of my head, but we're supposed to be a cup overflowing with His love. And how can we be overflowing if we're not filling that cup up? And part of filling that cup up is spending time with God. We need the daily time with God, the weekly time with God, in whatever form that takes, so that He can fill us up, both in our minds, spiritually, growing closer and deeper with Him, so that we can take what He is filling us up with, and that can overflow from us into our in and our out relationships. In our relationships with other believers and in discipling them and in our ability to serve others outside of the community of believers. We need God in our lives to be able to do those things. It's so easy for us to get caught up in trying to do those things on our own. And we can't. We can't do God's work. Period. I mean, it's not even a matter of we can't do God's work on our own. We can't do God's work. He is the one that does it through us. We are just a tool for Him to use. And we need to be like a tool. We need to be maintained and taken care of. You know, otherwise, the ability for us to be used as a tool isn't going to be as effective. You think of, you know, say like a screwdriver. If you let that screwdriver just sit in the toolbox and get all grimy when you use it and get rusty and dirty and worn down, and you don't take care of that screwdriver, it can't, you know, that rust and that grime builds up and it covers the tool and it won't let it be used properly. You do that. You try and get a screwdriver all, you know, grimied up and rusty, and it's very hard to use that screwdriver to unscrew a screw. If it's greasy and slippery, you can't hold on to it. If that gunk has built up on it, it can't go into the slot that's designed for it in the screw. It's not going to work. And that's the part of our up relationship with God is the maintenance of us being the tool for God to use. And when we let sin kind of overtake part of our lives, and then we are going to fall and we're going to fail. We're human. We're sinful people. Yet we need to continually go to God to help and have him help to clean us up and wipe away and clean those things from us so that he can fill us up and that then we can be used as a tool for him to minister to those around us, whether it's the, you know, discipling or the outreach, things that I talked about. The other aspect of living a balanced life in the triangle is the inn. It's the time we have to spend with other believers in deepening our spiritual relationship with each other. I mean, I think about the people I've had in my life as I've been on this faith journey that have really helped me move to the next level. And that's what we need. I mean, this journey of faith that we're on, we need God first. You know, that's where we're following him, his will for our lives, his purpose for our lives. You know, we're supposed, as Christians, I mean, that's the whole meaning behind Christian. You know, we're followers of Christ. And in that, we are all following him. And I had brought this picture back a couple episodes ago about how as believers, we are sheep from the front and shepherds from behind. You know, so there's that aspect in our lives that there's going to be other believers that aren't at the same step that we are that are going to be looking to us. And we're going to be looking to other people. And we need to be having those times of fellowship and growth with other believers. And one thing, you know, that I've been kind of a little frustrated with more recently is, you know, these aspects of, you know, the up and the in, spending time with God and spending time in fellowship with others, with other believers. I really have had a sense that these are two areas that as Christians, we are probably, I mean, and this is not in any boastful way, I mean, especially for myself, but we have at least, if nothing else, if we're not doing necessarily an excellent job in those areas, we're definitely doing a better job in those areas than the third area, which is the out. You know, in the Passionate Life book, or Passionate Church book, which I actually did buy and I'm kind of going through right now, and it's got some really good, just kind of different perspective topics in there. But it's this aspect of living two-dimensional lives. And I think it can be really comfortable and easy to live lives like that. You know, this morning in our group meeting that we have on Sunday mornings that I'm a part of, and we're talking about the life shapes, we were talking about the triangle. And during that time, I got to thinking, and I made this comment how when you think of art, I would say generally for most artists, The place you start in art is two-dimensional art. And two-dimensional art seems to be much easier and much more comfortable when it comes to producing art. And when you go from that two dimension to three dimensions, there's a whole nother thought process and just a way of looking at things in three dimensions, and to try and produce that in an artistic sense is much harder. And I think that's true with our faith journey and our spiritual lives. It's very easy to live a two-dimensional life. And I think probably the easiest is living in really the up and the in, you know, time with God and time with other believers. I think, you know, in the book, it talks about, you know, there's really all three examples. There's the up and in, up and inners, as they call it. There's the up and out, you know, those that are very focused on, you know, your personal relationship with God and then doing outreach. But then there's a lacking in the in. And, you know, I've actually, as I think about this right now, I have actually experienced a bit of that, in one sense, in my past where I've been serving, a sense of, you know, definite time for spiritual development and definite time for outreach, in a way, but that in was kind of lacking. And then there's the which I almost think of as really kind of a scary place to be, really, and that's the in-out. People that are doing, you know, focusing on the in, being with in Christian fellowship, and then doing outreach, but that time with God is lacking. And I really don't know how long you can sustain a life of, really, of any just two dimensions. It's probably the easiest to sustain a life in either the up-in or the up-out, because you've got that God connection, which really makes all, I mean, that personal God connection, which really makes all the difference in your life. But I know in myself, more recently, I have really felt the burden and just the heaviness of the lack of a balance in my life in the sense of up, in, and out. I would say for the most part, I'm definitely in the up in category, but it's the out. That's where I'm lacking, and that's where outreach comes in. And I've really felt now that God has been calling me and I've shared this with people, and if you take a look at my personal blog, that I have really, God's been working in my heart and finally bringing myself to a place where I am just ready to be used by God wherever and whenever. And I don't know when that's going to come. I'm feeling that there's going to be a big change happening in my life. I don't know what that is. I don't know when that's going to happen. And it can be frustrating at times for me because I'm, in a sense, I'm ready to just go right now. It's like, God, give it to me right now. And I think he's using this opportunity to teach me a little bit of patience in that. I really feel that, you know, I have not had the balanced life that I really desire and that God designs us to have. And part of that out, you know, the expression of the out and reaching out to others, that can take many forms. You know, whether you're, you know, serving in a ministry and that specifically reaches to the unchurched, that is a form of out. But really, you know, one way that I really have a deep desire of fulfilling the out is not so much just in a ministry. I mean, that's great. And I mean, I do have kind of a heart for some type of, you know, some aspect of ministry. But part of that comes in our daily living. You know, I mean, there's a reason that this book, The Passionate Life, talks about life shapes. It's not just shapes that you know, apply here in this area, it's about these concepts that are hugely scripture based. I mean, when you look at the triangle, you see aspects of Christ fulfilling that triangle, where he goes and spends time with God. Then he's in fellowship with the disciples. And from there, they go out and he's preaching the good news to people, and he's healing, and he's loving people, and he's serving others. And that's what we need to do. And Christ did that. I mean, that was his entire life. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be applying these life shapes excuse me, I'm not applying these life shapes, but just we're called to be following Christ and using his life as the example for our own. And this idea of compartmentalizing our lives and having this time for this thing and this time for this thing, that's bogus. That's not how we are designed to be. We are designed to be having regular times with God, regular times with other believers, and then out there serving the people in our communities, in location communities. You know, I mean, there are poor, there are so many needs in this world. You know, it's almost so big, it's hard to even imagine how we could even possibly make a dent in any of this, any of the needs, just the huge amount of needs that there are in this world. I mean, you've got physical health type of needs that are just all across the world. Emotional needs, just the amount of hurt that goes on and broken families and broken relationships and people just suffering, people that just can't make it on their own and need people's assistance. And I mean, there are people out there that kind of, play, you know, the lame lamb, you know, kind of, do the, I can't remember the, well, you know, never cry wolf, you know, the little boys go, oh, wolf, wolf, wolf. And there was no wolf. And then when there was a wolf and he was out of luck. You know, there are people that are going to say, oh, you know, I just, you know, can't make it. I just have all these needs and I just can't do anything about it. You know, I can't work or I can't find a job anywhere. And there are people that's valid, you know, because of their skills, or even, you know, because of, their, nationality, you know, just the whole, you know, aspect of that they can't get a job because of prejudice or whatever, you know, but then there are people that are very capable of working or having a job or providing for their needs, but are unwilling to. And it's those people that unfortunately, get the benefit when kind of give a bad name to those people that are in serious need. And you know, Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about, you know, this aspect of when, you know, the people went to heaven and the people crying out, it was the goats, I think is how he labeled them, cried out and said, you know, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And Christ said, you know, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was, you know, in prison, you didn't come and visit me. And so on and so forth. When I was without clothes, you didn't clothe me. And it's that aspect that's part of the out as well. You know, when, in his message, it was the sheep that had come and they had done these things. And they were like, Lord, when did I do this for you? But it was through those things. I mean, when we are showing love and willing to reach out to those in need, in whatever kind of need it is, that's when we're fulfilling the aspect of the out. And, you know, I've talked about my frustration with the church and its unacceptance, if that's the right word, or it's just its inability to accept those that are different from the way the church you know, thinks things should be, in kind of a, you know, I've used this term hidden legalism sense. It's those people that really feel like they can't approach the church. You know, they may feel or sense a great need in their lives, you know, maybe a void, you know, that God-shaped hole that everybody has, that kind of analogy that has been, you know, given to us before at other times. But they have no desire to approach a Christian or go to church because most likely, I would think in many cases, purely for the fact that they feel rejected because of who they are. They feel that Christians say, no, I can't dress this way. You know, I can't do this. I can't do this. And until you change, you can't be a Christian. And that's false. God, when Christ was here, He preached the gospel, and he did not preach, okay, you people change and then come to me. People came to him. They believed what he was saying, and they said that they wanted to follow him, and Christ in turn said, go and leave your life of sin. And so we as Christians have it backwards many times, and that we expect people to change in order for them to be welcomed into the Christian community. And I mean, I even struggle with that. You know, I think about, you know, how can somebody be a Christian if they've got these aspects in their lives? You know, if that is a, you know, a concerning question. And how do you answer that? I don't think there is a perfect answer to that other than, you know, what is God doing in their lives? God can change people totally, radically overnight, but also it's for people to change, radically, it can take time also. It can take God and the Holy Spirit working in their heart and working in one area. You know, we've had this word picture of our hearts having many rooms. You know, there's the little tract, you know, my heart, Christ's home. And it's a picture of Christ coming into our hearts, and we let him into one small room. And we slowly he works at, you know, getting into different rooms, and he's like, he wants to come to this room, and we want to keep him out of that room because we're ashamed of that room, or we just want to keep that room to ourselves. But he wants to come into that room and change those things in our lives. And I mean, I look at myself now, and I mean, I fail in many ways, and I'm not proud of those failures. I'm sure there's things that I fail in and things that I talk about or maybe attitudes that I have that I don't even realize are wrong because I'm not at that point yet in my faith. And as new believers, somebody that has just recently, you know, come to know Christ or somebody that feels that there's got to be more to this life, what is it? They need somebody that's willing to say, you know what, I'm going to accept you for who you are. I'm going to love you. For who you are. And, you know, I'm going to be there as a friend and as somebody to help you and share the truth with you. And I'm going to, you know, get myself out of the way. I'm, you know, as a believer, we're not the ones called to do the work. We're called to be used by God. God's the only one that can do work in people's lives and change their hearts. And so we need to be open to that. We need to be following that. We can't be approaching outreach in an effort to change people. You know, and I mean, there is an aspect of that, you know, and a lot of times there's these slogans that get thrown around about changing your world for God. And, you know, it's not about us changing the world. God changes the world. We are supposed to, I mean, the Great Commission is we're supposed to go to the ends of the earth and share the good news. That's our responsibility, is sharing the good news and showing God's love and showing mercy. We're not called to change people. Only God can do that. And that's where I think we really got things messed up. You know, I've kind of gone off here, and I'm really just sharing where my heart's at. And you know, one thing that's got, I really feel God is calling me to is definitely balancing out my life with this aspect of outreach. And that's something that I'm right now, I've been, you know, prayerfully seeking God's leading in this area of my life. Where does he want me to be? So that, or not necessarily where does he want me to be, but how can I get out of this? You know, I've talked about this before, this Christian bubble I feel like I'm in. You know, I think it's part of that just being stuck in this up in relation or up in life, you know, this two-dimensional life of up and in. And I want to get out of that. It's not a bubble. It's just a circle, or, you know, it's not three-dimensional. It's this two-dimensional thing. It's this two-way, and I'm missing the third, and I need that in my life. And I need to be open to looking for where that needs to happen in my life. And, you know, that's very hard to do. I talked about this morning that, you know, I think it can be really easy to get stuck in the two-dimensional in and up, because out and outreach, putting ourselves out in the world, is hard. It's scary, and it can be unsafe. I mean, we can feel unsafe. I mean, when we're with believers and in the church, and when we're in fellowship with God, I mean, there's a safety there. There's a trust there, and when we put ourselves out in the world, we are making ourselves very vulnerable. And I think that's where this aspect of, you know, where is our faith? You know, are we willing to say, you know what, God, I trust in you. My faith is in you, that you're going to protect me. You're going to fulfill my needs, and you're going to guide me as I put myself out there on the line. I'm putting myself out there to be used by you. And that's where our attitudes need to be. That's where our hearts need to be. Well, you know, I hope you have just, I hope God has spoken to you here. My words are just what God's doing in my life. And, you know, if God has used my words in some way to open, your heart, then I just feel blessed to have this opportunity to share with you what God is teaching me. My life is not mine, it's His. And that's always where I want my heart to be. And if He can use me in this small way, you know, I've kind of struggled a little bit here as I've looked at, you know, some of the statistics on my podcast as far as how many listeners I have. And, you know, I don't have like 10,000 listeners out there or even 100. But, you know, I made this comment to somebody once before. If this podcast can touch even one person in some way, then it's all worth it. And that's how we need to live our lives. You know, in this aspect of out, you know, if we put ourselves out there and if we only reach one person for Christ, oh, it's totally worth it. You know, there's a party going on in heaven for that one person, that one more soul that's been given over to God, and that another tool that can be made clean and be used by God. You know, you take one, you multiply that out to two, you take those two, and you know, it can multiply exponentially when God's working in people's lives. You know, we think that, you know, it's very easy in the ministry to get caught up in numbers, you know, how many souls were won for Christ. And that's not what God calls us to. He doesn't call us to look at numbers. He just calls us to be concerned about the one, even, and just reaching out and really our relationship with Him and being used by Him. So I'm going to close with that. I want to thank you again for listening, and I really would enjoy any feedback you have. I'm still not getting a lot of feedback. That can be a little frustrating because I'd love to, you know, get into some more dialogue about, you know, some aspects of what I'm talking about and maybe even some expanded thought. You know, and I mean, I really don't know that everything what I'm saying, you know, I mean, this is what I'm feeling, you know, and this is what I feel God's teaching me, but I am not at all claiming to be, you know, 100% correct in my theology, and, you know, I'm this, you know, scholarly person. Man, I mean, I tell you, I feel like the most inadequate person at times to be used by God. I don't know the Bible very well, you know. I don't know that, you know, this you know, verse here is, you know, in this chapter, book and verse, you know, book, chapter and verse, you know, I just don't feel very confident in that area, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't, teach me, but that doesn't mean He doesn't teach us if we're not there. God can still use us no matter where we're at. 'Cause like I said, we're all on a faith journey together and we're all at different steps. Kind of, you know, if you think about, you know, back in elementary school, you know, everybody, you know, you're kind of everybody holding hands down the hallway, you know, and you got somebody in front of you and you got somebody behind you. That's how our faith journey is. So anyways, I really look forward to, you know, or welcome, Any feedback, any comments that people have. You know, if you have some resources, additional resources that you think, hey, Tim, you should look into these resources. This is kind of more information about stuff that you're talking about. Or if you're interested in, you know, sharing your thoughts on this podcast, I'd love to have more people on the podcast. And I welcome that. So with that, I just want to thank you and thank you once again. I thank you a lot, but I just want to leave you too with God's blessings in His work in your life. God bless.